Good afternoon, everyone. This is Derek Alatorre with South Coast Air Quality Management District. Welcome to the weekly Paramount Hex Chrome investigation call. Again, this is a listen-only call. I want to let everyone know that we are going to be recording this call and also putting this up on our website. So all the presentations we give, as well as the questions that are going to be emailed in to us, and we're going to verbally read them and answer them, are going to be up on the website also. It's going to be the entire call, okay? So what I like to do is start off by doing a round of introductions around the table.
This is Wayne Astry, the Acting Executive Officer for South Coast AQMD.
Derek Alatorre, Deputy Executive Officer for Legislative and Public Affairs at AQMD.
Kurt Weiss, the AQMD General Counsel.
Amir Deshbach, Engineering and Permitting.
Susan Nakamura, Planning and Rules. Tina Cox, Media.
Andrea Polidori, Atmospheric Measurements Manager.
Cher Snyder, Compliance and Enforcement.
Lucky Desopoulos, Deputy Executive Officer of Engineering and Permitting.
All right, thank you. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Cher Snyder. She's going to be giving an enforcement update.
Good morning. As perhaps you know from having participated in earlier conference calls and other activities that AQMD has been involved in, our inspectors have been out in the field for the past several weeks conducting inspections. We have focused not only on doing door-to-door inspections of facilities within the general vicinity of our monitoring activities, but have also targeted facilities for more thorough top-to-bottom inspection where we have had a greater concern or where we've had evidence that they've been using materials that might generate hexavalent chromium emissions. So our investigations are ongoing, and we will continue to pursue these facilities in which we have a particular interest based on our findings, as well as expanding our door-to-door efforts in the community to ensure that we have identified any possible sources of emissions of interest, hexavalent chromium emissions, and we'll continue to do follow-ups and keep you abreast of our findings as necessary. Our previous inspection activities most recently have included additional partners, including members of the local CUPA, as well as representatives from the California Air Resources Board and DTSC, who've also participated, as I say, in these investigations and have afforded us additional insights about the operations of these facilities. In addition, the City of Paramount has provided us with a list of facilities that have been given business licenses to operate in the City of Paramount, with a particular focus on those facilities that might be doing any kind of metal handling or processing. And we are checking that list against our own list of permitted facilities within the City of Paramount that we've been investigating to ensure that, once again, we're not overlooking any facility that might be of concern with respect to this investigation. As I say, the investigation is ongoing, and as we come across information and findings that are good to share with the community, we will do that as soon as possible. But because this is an ongoing investigation, we need to evaluate additional information just to ensure the validity of our findings before we move forward in that regard.
Thank you, Cher. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Susan Nakamura.
Hi, I wanted to give you an update on two letters that we sent out to two facilities, one facility, Aniplex Corporation, the other one, Aerocraft. These letters that we sent out were to notify them that the South Coast AQMD may designate the facilities as potentially high-risk facilities. This is being done through our Rule 1402, which implements the AB 2588 hotspots program, and facilities that receive these letters that we have information based on the sampling, the monitoring and sampling data that indicates that their risk would be over 100 in a million, which is the part of the definition for potentially high-risk facilities. They have 5 days to respond to us. Once we designate them as a potentially high-risk facility, they are required to submit an early risk reduction plan and then concurrently prepare a health risk assessment, air toxics inventory report, and a risk reduction plan through the program.
Thank you, Susan. Now I'll turn it over to Amir, who's going to give you an update on our permitting.
Good morning. We are working very closely with our compliance staff to try to find out any if there are any discrepancies between the permits that we have issued and the operation at the facilities, including the discrepancies in the equipment descriptions or the permit conditions that these facilities are required to operate. We're also looking at the data that is being collected and trying to determine whether additional permits would be required for the operations at these facilities. This concludes my report.
Thank you, Amir. Next, I'm going to have Mr. Andrea Polidori give you an update on monitoring.
Good morning, everyone. So we are still monitoring for hexavalent chromium and metals near Carton Forge and downwind of Carton Forge in the community. Also, we have 10 monitors that have been deployed and are still monitoring to assess potential sources in the industrial part of Paramount along Madison Avenue between Texaco and Vermont. The next sampling date will be on Thanksgiving, so on the 24th of November. Our monitoring results, lab results for the week, for last week, so for sampling days November 14th and November 17th, have been reported and show similar patterns as the recent previous measurements that we collected in previous weeks. Also, access agreement with Carton Forge was returned with edits and is currently being reviewed by South Coast AQMD contracts and legal staff. Mr. Tom Wood from Carton Forge has conducted a follow-up with our staff. In terms of source testing screening, we conducted screening at two different facilities, Anaplex on November 16th and Aerocraft on the 17th of November. And we are coordinating for a potential side-by-side source test with the facility contractor to compare results. So all of the results from our source testing screening will be posted on our websites when they will become available. Our laboratory has finalized the analysis of bulk samples collected from Anaplex and Aerocraft, and as I mentioned before, all of the results from these analyses will be posted on our websites when they will become available. So last week we also had a discussion with ARB to evaluate the possibility of increasing the scope of our monitoring to include more locations, including schools in the Paramount area. And finally, we are conducting a site assessment for expanding the area for monitoring, for a more systematic monitoring in Paramount. And this concludes my update.
Thank you, Dr. Polidori. Next is going to be a community outreach update. Beginning next week, we're going to be changing this phone number for your call-in. It's going to be an 800 number. Additionally, we're going to have the call is going to be translated. We're going to have a separate 800 number to call in for the people who speak Spanish. We'll be sending out a new flyer for both the English and Spanish calls. That will be done either later on today or first thing tomorrow. So there will be a new phone number for you to call next week. It'll be a toll-free number. That's it for my updates. I'll turn it over now to Tina Cox, who will give you an update on media. Thank you.
Good morning. We're aware that Tony Barbosa with the LA Times is planning a story, and that story could publish in the next few days. And that's the media update I have.
All right, thank you, Tina. So at this time, again, we're going to encourage you to submit your questions via email. The email address, again, is publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. We already received one question from Mr. Greg Stonick, and the question is, other than sensors along the streets, have you found any evidence in either plants or other locations with elevated levels to determine the potential source?
This is Kurt Weiss, the AQMD General Counsel. We have ongoing investigation into the high chrome levels that the monitors have detected in the Paramount area. That investigation has involved inspections of selected facilities, but until that time the investigation is completed, we're not at liberty to disclose the totality of the evidence that we've collected. We have taken source tests at two facilities, and once those source test results are available, which they should be available within the next few days, possibly next week, those source test results will be posted on our website.
Thank you, Kurt. At this time, that's the only question we have. We're going to stay on the phone for a little while longer in case any other questions come up. So please, I encourage you, if you have the questions, please send them to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. We got another question that just came up from Cynthia Nelson. Is the South Coast AQMD having weekly meetings with the city as well? Who is going door-to-door sweeps and how often? Any new metal/forging facilities have been found operating without permits? Will there be monitors added in schools and other areas of the city? So the first part of the question is, SCAQMD having weekly meetings with the city as well?
Yes, this is Wayne Nastri. We are having weekly meetings, and we're actually doing daily updates to the extent that we can with the city.
Next part of your question is, who is doing door-to-door sweeps and how often?
This is Cher Snyder. We've been in the process of doing door-to-door sweeps over the past couple of weeks. We focused initially on the area closest to where the monitoring activity is, but we're going to be expanding our radius and going door-to-door in other areas as well over the next several weeks. As I indicated previously, we had been doing these door-to-door inspections assisted by or attended by representatives from the local CUPA as well as members of the California Air Resources Board and DTSC, and our invitation to them remains open to participate in these activities with us. We look forward to pursuing that again over the next several weeks.
And then the next question, that's the next part of the question that Cynthia asked, any new metal/forging facilities have been found operating without permits?
This is Cher Snyder again. We had found one facility in particular that had been found operating without permits and have taken appropriate enforcement action. And we're continuing to review records and to observe operations at other facilities to determine whether they are in compliance with our permitting requirements as well. We do have a rule at the AQMDR, Rule 219, that exempts certain kinds of operations from permitting requirements. And so our evaluation includes determining whether the types of equipment and operations at each of these facilities are subject to other rule requirements or are exempt from requirements by Rule 219. This is part of our ongoing evaluation. And I believe that I had indicated earlier that the city was kind enough to furnish us recently with a list of facilities that possess business licenses in the city of Paramount, many of which have something to do with metal handling or metal processing type operations. And we're truing that list up against our list of permitted facilities to determine which of those facilities may not be in our permit system at this point, and they will become part of our door-to-door inspection activity over the coming weeks. We will prioritize those, in fact, before we go to other facilities about which we perhaps have less information. We want to make sure that the ones that have been shared with us by the City of Paramount are at the top of the list as we follow up on our inspection activities.
Okay, thank you, Cher. The last question from Cynthia, will there be more monitors added in schools and other areas of the city? Dr. Polidori will answer that question.
Yes. We are currently considering to expanding the scope of our monitoring activities. We have considered different and additional site locations, including schools in the Paramount area.
Thank you, Dr. Polidori. Next question is from Jane Williams. The question is, has the city given permission to test parks and public spaces? What do you anticipate the size of the new expanded monitoring area will be?
So we have considered, as I just said, you know, schools in the Paramount area, but also locations south of you know, the current area that is being investigated, and we are in the process of updating our draft monitoring plan that will be made available fairly soon.
And then the last question is, has the city given permission to test parks and public spaces?
I'm not 100% sure about that, but I can follow up later.
We'll follow up, Jane, on that one. Thank you, Dr. Polidori. We got another question from, looks like, Susan Lagudis. Please forgive me if I... Susanna. Oh, she's... Susanna, there's no message.
Please repeat it.
Oh, okay. Please repeat enforcement violations.
Susanna, this is Cher Snyder. As we'd indicated earlier, we are continuing our ongoing investigation of facilities in Paramount, and we have kind of two focal points for our activity. One is going door-to-door to sources that may or may not be in our permit system to verify that they're in compliance with permitting requirements and to see if there might be other operations at those facilities that would cause us concern from the standpoint of possible emissions of hexavalent chromium. And then the other focal point is going out to facilities that use, process, operate materials that more likely would give rise to hexavalent chromium emissions to determine the extent to which they may be of concern with respect to elevated risk. If you would like additional information about our activities, I'm happy to talk with you about that offline. If you have specific questions, please feel free to raise those in an additional email as well if you would prefer. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder. Next question is coming from Lisa Lappin. The question is, why aren't the Chrome 6 level coming down significantly? Does this suggest a company prefers to pay a penalty rather than reduce their emission? Some teachers in Paramount and our union are asking that air monitors placed on Wesley Gaines School and Jackson School, as they are surrounded by three forging facilities, Matco, Press Forge, and Weber Metal. Will these monitors be in place soon? How do we know that these emissions are not more widespread throughout Paramount?
So this is Kurt Wiese, the General Counsel. I'm going to take the first question. The district has other legal mechanisms than just penalty authority to address situations like the situation in Paramount. In addition to seeking civil penalties, we can seek an injunction in court or go to the district's administrative hearing board and seek an order for abatement, which is essentially an injunction that's issued administratively. And it's those latter procedures, seeking an order for abatement or an injunction, that we intend to pursue once the information regarding the chrome emissions is fully developed. So we are going to address the chrome emissions. The chrome emissions will come down, and in addition, we will seek civil penalties for any pre-existing violations.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. Dr. Polidori, you want to answer the next part of the question?
Sure. So we have deployed different samplers in a certain configuration, so along the predominant wind direction. So far, we have seen that the concentration of hexavalent chromiums decreases with distance from the facility that we are monitoring quite rapidly. And that's an indication that, for the most part, they're included in very large particles. So that everything that we have monitored so far seems to indicate that the concentration of chrome 6 decrease, you know, with distance from the suspected facilities.
So I think your question is has to deal with air monitors, placing air monitors at Wesley Gaines School in Jackson. So maybe you can elaborate how far that is from, and also she mentions that there's these two schools are surrounded by three forging facilities.
So, you know, in terms of the monitoring at the schools. It's the configuration of the samplers that we are placing there should be able to elucidate whether or not there is an impact from some of those facilities. And future monitoring results will be able to, clarify some of these questions. But at the moment, I think that's as far as we can go.
All right.
So, and also in addition to that, we have a discussion with ARB to conduct some monitoring in these schools. And so we'll have more information next week.
Thank you, Dr. Polidori. Next question is coming from Tony Barbosa. The question is, when do you expect to have an estimate of cancer risk or other long-term health risks? How many facilities have been inspected so far? What is the typical background level for hexachrome and paramont? So the first part of the question is, when do you expect to have an estimate of cancer risk or other long-term health risks?
So in terms of the cancer risk, we sent letters out to the two facilities, Amplex and Aerocraft, which starts a process for them to submit an air toxics inventory report and to quantify the health risk from their facility. So that's in process. And in terms of, sorry, I'm far from the screen. The typical background level, which is the third question, which I can answer, it's 0.06 nanograms per cubic meter based on our MATES 4, and that's averaging all of the 10 ambient monitoring sites based on MATES.
Thank you, Ms. Nakamura.
And the Compton site, which is closest to Paramount, is 0.11 nanograms per cubic meter.
Thank you, Ms. Nakamura. The next part of Tony's question is, how many facilities have been inspected so far? So Dr. Snyder will answer this question.
Thank you. As I indicated earlier, we're in the process of an ongoing investigation. We've inspected at least 20 facilities. And we're continuing to expand the number of facilities that we're inspecting. I can give you exact numbers if you're interested, either the next time we talk or if you'd like to pose that question to me offline. But since we're continuing to inspect, I'm sure we're probably out at facilities today that may be either reinspected or are new facilities that we're inspecting. So it's sort of a moving target as we're going along, but I'm happy to share that information with you.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder. The next question is from Susan Lagudis. Susan, we'll just email you the information we had mentioned already earlier in the call. The next question is from Esther Lopez. The city has an annual Christmas train program that stops near the affected areas. Residents line up at very least 1 hour in advance. There are many children and babies at these events. Should the city reroute their program to avoid they're affected by the high levels of chrome 6.
Yeah, this is Kurt Weiss, the general counsel. We will raise this issue with the city of Paramount.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. Again, from Esther Lopez, thank you for adding the Spanish call in number for subsequent weeks. Question, one of the updates included similar patterns to previous weeks. Is this at the 350 times the background levels as mentioned at the town hall meeting? The other question, are there immediate actions that the community should be taking to protect themselves meanwhile?
So in regard to the 350 times, the basis of the 350 times was taking the first three monitoring data points that we had for, I think it was site number 8, and it was the average of those at the time when we had done the press release. There were three values that we had, which were 26, 25, and 12 nanograms per cubic meter, and the average of that was 21 nanograms per cubic meter, and then divide the 0.06 nanograms per cubic meter, which was the typical background level from the MATES 4, and that's how we got the 350 times. I believe the average from site 8 probably has come down a little bit. We haven't seen any 25s or 26s, I think, since those first two data points, but they've still been very elevated.
Thank you, Ms. Nakamura. Dr. Polidori, we'll answer your next question, Esther. Are there immediate actions that the community should be taking to protect themselves meanwhile?
I just wanted, you know, to kind of comment on what Susan said in terms of the, you know, the similar patterns that we mentioned before. That's more in terms of spatial variability. So the absolute values are coming down, although, you know, we still see, you know, the same variability in terms of concentrations. So in terms of immediate actions for protect themselves, you know, obviously, you know, so most of the information are included on our website. You can find our fact sheet that will possibly address that exact question.
Thank you, Dr. Polidori. Next question is coming from Lisa Lappin again. How many facilities has the city indicated are operating in Paramount that emit hex chrome? Go ahead, Dr. Snyder will answer the call. Question.
Thank you for the question, Lisa. The city had provided us with a list of facilities that in some way handle or process metals. They've not indicated, because they don't have that information available to them, which of these facilities may be sources of hexavalent chromium emissions, if any. And so part of our investigation is to go to each of these facilities, some of which we've already visited, because there is some overlap already, obviously, between their list and ours. Some of these we've already visited, and we'll be going on ahead and visiting the other ones that are on the list to determine whether there is a need for concern about those emissions from those potential sources as well.
Hi, okay, the next question is coming from Greg Stonick. The question is, how long has the elevated hexavalent chromium been known about in this immediate area?
So we began monitoring, the long-term monitoring, which was sites 2 and 3, which was north near Carlton Forge, and the average there was, I think it was about 0.27 nanograms per cubic meter, and then in 2016, it increased to 0.4 nanograms per cubic meter, and so we don't have a full year's worth of data, but that increase there was enough for us to want to start this expanded monitoring, and so October 15th was when we started the expanded monitoring, and we first saw the first elevated level, which was far south of Carlton Forge, and it was 7.9 nanograms per cubic meter. And then we added more monitors on Madison. So it was kind of from that point. So I'd say mid-October where we saw the very, very high elevated levels. But even at 0.4, we wanted to investigate that.
Thank you, Ms. Nakamura. Next question is from Jane Williams. How many facilities are on the list the city gave you? Dr. Snyder will answer that question.
I haven't actually counted specifically the number of facilities, but it appears to be in excess of 60. I'll be happy to provide you with the number of facilities once I've had a chance to get back to my computer and do a tally.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder. Next question is coming from Jacqueline Avila. Tina mentioned that a story will be released in the next few days in the media. Where will the story be published, and which media outlet?
This is Tina. My understanding is Tony Barbosa with the LA Times is planning a story.
Thank you, Tina. No other questions. We'll stick around for a little bit longer, see if we get any other questions. So you'll just hear a long silence until we get more questions. We'll wait a couple minutes, and if not, then we'll end the phone call. Okay, got another question from Lisa Lappin. Can the task team ask the health department to access the cancer registry at USC to determine if there is a disproportionate amount of cancer in the Paramount, especially amongst children? To date, the health department has refused to evaluate this information despite repeated requests. This could be done without violating HIPAA rights of the multitude of people with cancer in Paramount.
This is Kurt Weiss, the General Counsel. This is an issue that we will raise with LA County Public Health.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. We're going to be silent until we get another question. Okay, a question from Jane Williams. Can we split out the list the city gave you by NAICS code? Sure. Can we split?
If the city has in some instances provided the NAICS code for some facilities, but not for all, it's not clear whether as part of their application process they request that information. So to the extent that that information is available, I think we can probably break that out.
If there's anybody listening, can you send me an email? Because we just got word that we lost the line. Now I got an email that it's back. So I'm not sure which questions you lost out on. But let me go back to Kurt's. This question from Lisa Lappin that Kurt answered. Could the team ask the health department to access the cancer registry at USC to determine if there is a disproportionate amount of cancer in the Paramount, especially amongst children? To date, the health department has refused to evaluate this information despite repeated requests. This could be done without violating HIPAA rights of the multitudes of people with cancer in Paramount.
And again, this is Kurt Weiss, the General Counsel. We have been in communication with LA County Public Health regarding the situation in Paramount, and this is an issue that we will raise with them.
Next question, I'm not sure if you heard, is Jane Williams' question. Can we split out the list the city gave you by NAICS code? Dr. Snyder will answer that question.
Yeah, and our response to that one was that the list that the city provided identified certain businesses using the NAICS code, but not all of them. And so to the extent that we have that information provided, we're happy to be able to share that.
Okay, I think we're good. We're back on. I'm getting emails from people saying that you can hear us again. I apologize, don't know what happened there, but sounds like we're back up. Question from Tony Barbosa. Do you suspect any of the 20-plus facilities inspected so far are the source of the hex chrome spike or contributing to it? How many facilities do you think could be responsible? You've mentioned the investigation as potentially leading abatement orders and civil penalties. Could this also result in filing of criminal charges? I'll let Mr. Weiss answer the last question from Tony about civil penalties and abatement orders.
I'm actually going to take the entire question. As I mentioned previously, we are involved in an ongoing investigation. We do have, as I mentioned also, a number of legal options, and we are foreclosing no legal option at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. I got a question from Gloria Conti with DTSC. I work with DTSC. I'm wondering if anyone has checked the HWTS public database that allows looking for specific waste streams based on waste codes.
This is Cher. I don't know that that's the case. We're happy to look into that also and provide information back.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder. So we got no other questions this time. We'll stay on hold. We'll stay on until for a couple minutes to see if we still get more questions. If not, we'll end the call. Here's a question from Lisa Lappin. Are you purchasing more air monitors? And if so, how many? Would you consider borrowing some from Cal EPA or EPA to handle this unprecedented situation? How do we know that there are not other similar Chrome 6 spikes throughout the city?
So this is Andrea Polidori again. We are purchasing 10 more monitors. The purchase order has been submitted already, so we should receive those fairly quickly. And I mentioned before that we have been in communication with the ARB, and they propose to basically add more monitors to our current force of monitors. Do you know that there are not similar crews throughout the city? So we are basically working on an expanded plan, and we are considering new monitor location to answer this specific question, so to see if there are more sources of Chrome 6 in the area.
Thank you, Dr. Polidori. We've got another question from Esther Lopez. What can our elected officials do to help SCAQMD, specifically Assemblymember Rendon and Senator Lada? Thank you, Esther. We have been working with them. They are taking this very seriously, and they have asked us if at all we need their assistance to give them a call at this time. We have everything taken care of, but if we do need assistance, we are going to reach out to them. They have asked us numerous times, you know, if there's any need to get locations for public meetings, but we've been able to work with the city to get those locations. So we will be reaching out to them as needed. Got another question from Robina. AQMD was provided with a list of facilities by the City of Paramount. Will the City of Paramount's full list be provided on the AQMD website for public review?
Yeah, this is, yeah, we will review the list and, as appropriate, post it on the website.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. No questions in the queue right now, but we'll stay on for a little bit longer. This question is from Greg Stonick again. Has the SCAQMD or any other agency seen similar situations in other nearby cities, and what was the determination of cause in those cases?
Well, this is Kurt Weiss, the general counsel. This is not a wholly unprecedented situation. There have been situations where monitoring has disclosed toxic sources in other areas. We were able, with monitoring and inspection work, to identify those sources, and we took appropriate legal action.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. I think that's it so far. We'll be on hold. We'll wait a couple more minutes. Okay, seeing that there are no other questions, thank you, everyone. Again, we're going to be sending out another email to everyone on our email list, giving the new phone number for the call-in for the 11:30 call, okay? Thank you very much, and we look forward to working with you next week. Thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Oops, you got another one.